Let's pray. Father, we're meeting together in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you very clearly guide us and help us comprehend mentally, spiritually, willfully what we learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. Advertise, as you saw it or not, that the first hour will be righteousness without effort. Righteousness without effort. In fact, it's the only kind there is. We can look at every occurrence of the word. We may do that, but right now we would just pick out a few. Let's look at Romans 1, 16 and 17. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Okay. First thing, it says it's a righteousness from God. And it's a righteousness of faith. We'll see more of that in chapter 4, from first to last. The righteous will live by faith. Okay. By faith, I give you a simple, by faith is not believing something is true. That's not faith. Faith is trusting. I can believe that Mr. Obama is president of the United States. Doesn't mean I know him, doesn't mean I trust him, doesn't mean anything. It's just I know it's true. And many people know that Jesus Christ is a Savior. In fact, one woman told me, Brenda Newhart, I asked if she's a Christian. She said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I just don't trust him. She said very clearly. Okay. Well, people don't say, I don't trust him. But when they say they believe, they just mean they believe it's true. And faith means putting your trust in. Your Amplified Version will have, for God 3:16, for John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him, and it says, believeth, trusts in, relies on, commits to, something like that. You probably heard the story of the French tightrope walker who in the 19th century came to the United States and stretched his tightrope across Niagara Falls and said, walked across it, rode his bicycle across it, wheeled a wheelbarrow across it, came down the crowd, he was selling tickets, of course, came down the crowd and said, how many people think I can wheel a man across the falls in a wheelbarrow? He turned to you and said, do you think you can do it? I said, yeah. I've seen you go across 3 times. I've got money on you. I know you can. He said, you're just the person I'm looking for. Please get into the wheelbarrow. Okay, now, there's the difference between knowing something's true and trusting. Okay, this faith here is trusting in. Let me say it another way. And suppose we come in here very tired, we're just exhausted, and we need a rest. We decide to sit down, and I look at the chair. I don't trust it. I check the legs. I still don't trust it. So I hook a line to the overhead, lower myself down, brace myself, and say, boy, this is a great rest. You don't try to sit down. When you sit down, you quit trying. You trust the chair.
a chair fall out from your lap someday, so that's a bad illustration.
What's that?
I had a chair fall out from under me last week, just breaking.
Oh, right. Well, well, it's happened to me too. Here's another story. It probably not a fair story, but it may not be true. But our Jewish fellow was put his son on the porch railing and went down in front and said, hey, jump off and I'll catch you. And the kid didn't want to do it. He goes, jump off and I'll catch you. Finally, the little kid jumped. And the father turned around and walked away. And the kid fell on the ground. And the father said, don't teach you not to trust anybody. Okay, no. But trust has to do with not trying. You put your faith in somebody else. Okay. Righteousness is by faith from first to last. Just as written, the righteousness is by faith. Jump over to the third chapter of Romans. Verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all of a sudden falls through the glory of God. But there is a righteousness from God. Comes to all who believe. The belief is a trusting, but the righteousness from God. Next chapter, chapter 4. Verse 3. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. One of the most famous verses, and Paul uses that verse to teach these people that you're not saved by effort. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. When it is credited to him, that means it was put into your bank account. It was put in the asset side of the ledger. That this is. I suppose I told you, Hannah, I've just given you $1 million and I put it in your bank account. Well, you don't believe me. Number one, you don't think you have $1 million, and two, I wouldn't do that with it if I had it. So, you don't put it in your checkbook. So you don't write checks on it. So $1 million is sitting in your account, and because you don't believe it's there, you don't put it in your checkbook, and you don't write checks on it. He says, it was credited to him as righteous, put it in your bank account and write checks on it. This is real stuff. And he uses that expression later on in the chapter again and again. In verse 11, maybe, it says, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he uses this expression several times, quoting Genesis 15:6. Okay, I'm going to jump over to chapter 10 and then go back to chapter 6. Romans 9, I should say, 9 and 10. Verse 30 of chapter 9. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it. A righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as it were by works. they stumbled over the stone, stumbling stone. Okay? The Gentiles didn't pursue righteousness, but they got righteousness by faith. The Jews pursued righteousness and didn't get it because they see it in chapter 10. Verse 2. I can testify about them, the Jewish people, that they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so there must be righteousness for everyone who believes. It connects to righteousness by faith, believes, over to God, but the righteousness comes from God. It's not some standard. Now, when I was 8 or 9, somebody could have led me to the Lord because I was very spiritually hungry. And a real good church in Seattle. But we moved back to Nebraska, to a small town. I was so spiritually hungry. I got up every Sunday morning and got dressed. Went to Sunday school and church a block away at a Lutheran church. It was dead as a doornail. Nothing there. Nobody else got up. My parents didn't get up. My brothers, I got 5 brothers. I was 4 at that time. And nobody got up. I got up and went. I went for months. Then we moved 5 miles west, and I get on my bike every Sunday. Ride my bike 5 miles to this dumb church. Finally, I gave up and just decided I'd be good without God. And so I spent 10 years being good. And I was saved when I was 20. But I could have been saved when I was 8 or 9. But meantime, I tried to establish my own righteousness. And it just doesn't work. Not the righteousness by faith. Okay, back to chapter 6. Now, this righteousness is God's, it's from Him, it's received by faith. Of course, we've gone through several chapters of Romans, where it's a righteousness from God, it's a righteousness by faith. In chapter 3, a righteousness from God. Chapter 4. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. And chapter 9 and 10, the Gentiles received a righteousness that they didn't pursue. They received it by faith. And the Jews pursued it and didn't receive it because it was by works. So the title is actually, it was Righteousness Without Effort. The kind that works only comes from God, and it's only received by faith. Okay, chapter 6 of Romans. You're going to have to fill in the gaps of all these chapters. In verse 13, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as though you've been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. You've received Him, you've gone from death to life. Having gone from death to life, you offer your body as instruments of righteousness. Jump down to verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. I think last week, the week before, we talked about the word obedience used in presenting the gospel. And we just always say believe, but almost the same thing. Or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you used to be slaves to sin. You wholeheartedly obeyed the former teaching to which you were entreated and trusted. You've been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. Now, if you look up, well, it's like Ephesians 5 maybe. I had those in my mind and the other things sort of in my mind. Verse 22. You were taught. Now, for chapter 4, not 5. Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. You were taught back when you heard the gospel to put off the old self, which is corrupted by its deceitful desires, and you're told to put on the new self. And that new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now all this happens at your conversion. When you receive Christ, you received his righteousness. And if you don't receive Christ, it's your works righteousness, and they don't count. They don't work. So righteousness is only received by faith, and it's only from God. There's no way you can try. And when I say righteousness without effort, it's given to us. It's credited to us just because we believe him. There he is, if not taught, it is taught, but in addition to being taught, it's sort of assumed if nobody taught it. All Christians that I know think it's normal to be bad. All Christians I know think it's normal to sin. And I don't find it in the book. So they sort of assume that yes, we're righteous, and no, we're not. And it's because we disobey God. Well, here he connects, you're created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In Colossians 3, it says the same sort of thing. 3:9. Do not lie to each other. Since you've taken off your old self of this practice, it tells these Christians not to lie to each other. So it must be possible to lie to each other, or you wouldn't tell them not to. If it were impossible, you wouldn't have to tell them not to. Now it tells us why you're not to lie to each other. Since you've taken off your old self of these practices. That's past tense. You've taken off your old self of these practices. He said, don't lie to each other because you don't have the old self. He doesn't say don't lie to each other because you still have the old self. And it says, and have put on the new self, past tense, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. It's being more and more like Jesus. True righteousness and holiness. And I said this takes place at conversion, but it also takes place in the work of Christ in terms of, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the last couple of verses. Verse 28. He chose the lowly things of this world and despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. And it says, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. We're in Christ Jesus, and he has become for us wisdom from God. And that wisdom from God, he's become our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Now, the redemption is not the new birth. The redemption is the redemption of the body, the last day. So, our righteousness is our conversion. Our holiness is our living the Christian life, and redemption. It's that Jesus Christ become all three. He's become our righteousness, our holiness, and redemption. I mentioned last week, I think you did, one of my favorite verses is Colossians 2:6. I'm quoting King James. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By grace through faith. You didn't receive Christ Jesus the Lord by try or by effort or by works. You received it by grace through faith. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You walk the same way you received it, by grace through faith. In other words, the Christian life is like being born again every instant. It's the same procedure. It's grace and faith. But, you know, I'm probably repeating myself a little bit, but look at Galatians 3, the first five verses. Now, I know I said this last week, but I'll say it again. You foolish Galatians. You dumbbells. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. You got the message of the gospel very clearly. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Well, they don't. He knows they know the answer. By believing what you heard. Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit and now trying to attain your goal by human effort? You received the Spirit by believing what you heard. You attain your goal by believing what you hear. It's grace and faith. You don't revert to try. He said, you're idiots if you revert to trying. Then he goes on to say, have you suffered so much for nothing? If ever you was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you believe that you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? You believe what you heard. You say, okay, if that's true, how come I sin? Well, it's very true. I think I can quote this to you also last night, Romans 8:9. So if you don't mind me saying things twice. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. You are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, and the Spirit of Christ does not dwell in you, you don't belong to him. So no Christian, by definition, is in the flesh. He's in the Spirit if the Spirit's in him. You say, well, I act like I'm in the flesh. Okay? Well, the Bible has some things to say about that. Well, let's look back to Colossians 3 again. Okay, this is, goes into the next subject of holiness. But we'll go cheat a little bit. Good. Colossians 2:20. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, in its past tense, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Now, who makes those kind of rules? Do not handle, do not touch. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Where do you hear those kind of rules? Normally. In fundamentalist churches, don't touch those handles, right? He says, since you're dead to the world, why do you submit yourself to the world's rules? And he said, these are the world's rules. Do not handle, do not touch, that and taste. Those are the world's rules. These are all destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. They don't work. But legalistic churches have had these rules, not realizing these rules are straight from the world. And he said, if you're dead to the world, why do you submit to its rules? Okay, chapter 3. Since you then have been raised with Christ, 2:20 says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. One of those words is past tense. You have been raised with Christ. One's present tense, future tense, set your hearts on things above. So even though you have died with Christ, you've been raised with Christ, you still use your will to set your hearts on things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And life is not hidden with Christ in God. He's telling you, you're dead, you're risen, you died with Christ, and he tells you to set your hearts and set your minds on things above. But he says, set your hearts and minds on things above because you are dead. This is now your norm. Okay, this next one, now verse 5. Put to death, therefore. The therefore is based upon you've died with Christ and risen with Christ. Since you died with Christ and risen with Christ, then you're supposed to put something to death. Well, you say, if I'm dead with Christ, I've died with Christ, why do I have to put anything to death? But because you've died, therefore put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is adultery. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming on people who are not saved because of these things. The wrath of God is not coming on people who are saved. They're dead with Christ. But he says, we're to put these to death. They have no. Now he says, put them to death. He doesn't mean a slow, torturous death. He means shoot him in the head. Dead. You died with Christ, and these things go right away, disappear. And he has said, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. That was normal. You walked in them. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. So, put to death certain things and put off these other things. They don't belong in the Christian's life. But they can be done. It tells us to put them away, put them off. Put them off. Now, if they don't get put off, then they don't get put to death. And there's every good reason to suspect you haven't died with Christ. You haven't. You may have, and you just very disagree obedient. Now, there's a passage in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I find it here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Well, people read this and say, oh, the sin easily entangles. That's true. He said, throw it off. It's not difficult to throw it off. It's not difficult to put it off. It's not difficult to put off these things. But if you, the sin servicing things, and let us run with the patience to really set up for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Okay? You can look up the concordance and there'll be other verses that refer to righteousness. But you'll see they all fit what I've said so far. There's not a... Let's thank God. Father, thank you for this time we've had in the scriptures. We pray that you'd help us and that these scriptures just become a part of us. And we think this way. In Jesus' name, amen.